Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Talking Sports on Harvard Avenue. This is your host, Harv Aronson, our second edition of Talking Sports on Harvard Avenue, and I welcome all the listeners. We are going to be talking about Pittsburgh Steelers football in this episode, as well as a few other sports topics, and I'd like to let everybody know that there will be podcasts posted every Tuesday evening and every Friday evening, and Tuesdays I will be covering the previous Steelers game as well as other sports topics, and on Friday give you a preview of the forthcoming game, unless it is a Thursday night game, obviously, and I will also provide my prediction for the Steelers game. So let's turn our attention to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have one game in the books, and opening day for NFL 2018 is history, and the Steelers came away without a loss, but without a win, and it was in Cleveland against their rival, the Browns, and it was 21-21, a very sloppy game. There was a lot of turnovers, six turnovers. Ben Roethlisberger, three interceptions. James Conner, a costly fumble, and Ben unfortunately fumbled as well a couple of times, so not a very well-played game. They came away with a tie. It's the first tie since 1971 for an opening day game. It's the first tie for the Pittsburgh Steelers since they tied Atlanta years back, and I was watching that game as well. So we move into week two, and Kansas City Chiefs are coming to town. The Steelers will need to clean up their act and play much better. It always seems like they will play down to the lesser opponents and up for the better opponents. So under Mike Tomlin's regime, they've rarely played two bad games in a row. So I would expect the Pittsburgh Steelers to play much better come Sunday. And this will be their home openers. The focus on this last game this past weekend, obviously, was the absence of Le'Veon Bell. And he has yet to sign his one-year, $14 million tender offer as the franchise tag player. And there was much locker room talk about Le'Veon Bell from his own teammates. He's obviously a distraction at this point. I don't believe it had anything to do with the game. But Le'Veon Bell, we don't know when he's going to report. And TMZ has come out with a report today that Le'Veon Bell, Monday night after midnight, was in a club in South Florida. So is this how a teammate should be spending his time away from the team? No. And, it's just a major distraction to the team. His teammates are not happy with it. They've been working hard. Went through training camp, went through preseason, all without Le'Veon Bell around the team. And now, because of that and the failure for him to report to the team, Mike Tomlin's taken him off the depth chart. Le'Veon Bell is no longer listed on the roster. So, and that's deserving. And we don't know when he's going to return. And they say he will not be placed back on the roster until he actually returns, if and when he returns. So, in the meantime, James Conner is the man. And backing him up will be Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley. Samuels is a rookie. He didn't dress last weekend, but he will be in uniform come Sunday, especially since Bell is not with the team. As far as James Conner goes, he had a great game last Sunday. He had 135 yards rushing. He had that one costly fumble, but you can't point a finger at any one single player in that game. The whole team was sloppy. There was too many penalties. James Conner is the real deal. He can hold up his end of the bargain, and I believe for that reason, in my opinion, is that Le'Veon Bell should not be brought back. Let's cut the ties, folks. He's not coming back in 2019. The Steelers have already said they're not going to give him a long-term deal. Why sustain this thing? Just cut him now. Let him go. The Steelers can win without him. They proved that last Sunday. If you take away the mistakes, the fumbles, the turnovers, all the errors, they win that game. And they do it behind the strong running of James Conner. So why even keep Bell on the team? When he returns, his teammates are not going to be able to look him the same in the eye. It's not going to be the same. So why bring that kind of distraction into the locker room when you've got a viable runner in James Conner, who can do the job and proved he can do the job. Mike Tomlin's trying to keep the Le'Veon Bell discussion out of things. The players are trying to focus on just what's forthcoming, another game, Kansas City. So hopefully they can put that aside and out of their minds and move on and give us a good game come Sunday. So it will be the Kansas City Chiefs coming in 1-0 on Sunday. If you missed a lot of the football this past weekend, many high-scoring games. It was a crazy way to open the NFL season, and it was a good opening to the season. I believe Ryan Switzer was also a nice addition to the team. He looks like we have our kick returner. And so things will turn upwards for the Pittsburgh Steelers come Sunday. They will not play a second bad game in a row. As far as baseball goes, we all know the Pirates aren't going to be going to the playoffs. We know that they traded Andrew McCutchen in the offseason to the San Francisco Giants. McCutchen is no longer a Giant. And I missed this one, but on August 31st, he was traded again. This time he's heading north to New York, and he's now a Yankee wearing pinstripes. He actually hit a home run for the Yankees the other night. For McCutchen, you got to feel good for him anyway, even though he was traded because he's gone to a team that's going to the playoffs. The Yankees will go in as a wild card team, so Kutch is going to get another shot at the playoffs, so we're happy for him for that sake. And so he had to go up there and find out that they wanted him to shave his beard. So if you haven't seen a picture of McCutchen, go take a look, Google him, because he's now beardless. But good luck to Kutch. He'll be in the playoffs, and while the Boston Red Sox seem to be running away with things, it will be fun to see McCutchen in the postseason once again. If you don't know, I haven't read my website, I'm a big UFC MMA fan, and so we had a big fight with Tyron Woodley this past weekend with Darren Till. I had predicted a Woodley victory, and sure enough, he dominated Till and got his first submission victory ever for his career, so congrats to Tyron Woodley for defending his welterweight belt. We will be talking lots of UFC on the show. I'm a big UFC fan, despite the fact that I do not like Dana White and do not like the way he runs this sport of his, UFC. And he does it very poorly. Last weekend, he stripped Nico Montana of her title because she did not make weight and had some issues medically, had to go to the hospital, and that was completely unfair. And it's just one of those things Dana White does, some very controversial stuff. But aside from Dana White, today, there was a lawsuit filed against Conor McGregor, who's got a big fight coming up against Khabib. And this stems from UFC 223, and the suit is being filed by Michael Chiesa. He was supposed to fight Anthony Pettis at UFC 223. So McGregor, in my opinion, staged a little event where he threw a dolly through a bus that had Khabib on the bus, and Rose Namajunas was on the bus as well, and Chiesa was on that bus. And Chiesa is claiming that when the dolly hit the windshield, some of the glass cut his face, and it forced the cancellation of his fight with Pettis, and now he is going to sue Conor McGregor, and he's claiming that he's suffering from severe emotional distress, mental trauma, bodily harm, all ridiculous. Just another stupid thing going on in the UFC, and Dana White really, if he wants to clean up that sport, needs to get a grip on a lot of things and avoid events like this from happening. So the show will air on Tuesday nights, Friday nights, and as I said, it will be a preview on Friday of the forthcoming game, and on Tuesday, a wrap-up of the previous game, but also something else I do on my website that I'm going to include in the radio show is history. I'm a big history buff. I love sports history. You'll find a lot of history on my website. I write for Gridiron Greats, a magazine that you can find online. It's a football magazine. They talk about sports history in football, and they also specialize in sports collecting. So it's a very interesting magazine. Bob Swick's the editor there. I'll be writing for them again in October on a piece about the University of Pittsburgh football Panthers. So take a look at that. You can subscribe there to their magazine. It's an excellent magazine. Comes out quarterly. But as far as history goes, on my website, every day I give you a little piece of sports history, something that happened on that day. So this broadcast being recorded on September 11th, we'll take a look back at a little bit of history on September 11th and what it took place on this day in history. In 1923, there was a pitcher from the Boston Red Sox. His name was Howard Emke, and he gave up a single to open the game against the New York Yankees. And you know what? After that one single, he retired the next 27 batters. So basically, he had a no-hitter despite giving up one hit. Basically, it's a no-hitter with one hit given up, but he retired every batter after that one single he gave up to start the game. In 1946, the Dodgers and the Reds, they played 19 innings. The interesting thing about this game was they played 19 innings, but nobody scored. They finished in a tie, a 0-0 tie for 19 innings. That was September 11, 1946. In 1959, the year I was born, Elroy Face of my Pittsburgh Pirates, he won 22 games in a row, and he finally lost in that year, 1959, but he finished 18-1 for 1959 season. Pretty incredible. 1974, another extra inning game between the St. Louis Cardinals and New York Mets. It went 25 innings, and it set the National League record for the longest game in history for National League, but in overall, for Major League Baseball, it was the second longest game in history. In 1985, Pete Rose, on this day, September 11, 1985, he got his 4,192nd hit, and that passed Ty Cobb for the all-time record. His hit, that one hit for him that set the record, came off of San Diego Padres' Eric Chow. And finally, in 2004, Barry Bonds, used to play for the Pirates, went to the Giants just like Kutch. He walked for the 200th time in 2004, and with that 200th walk, he became the first Major League Baseball player to earn a base on balls 200 times in a season. So that's a little taste of what we'll have on the show, some history, some football, some baseball, some UFC, and I welcome your suggestions, any comments you might have. We do have guests lined up. I can have call-in guests. We have that ability here on this show. So if you're interested in calling in and throwing in your two cents on any topic, I welcome your calls in. And if you would like to do that, you can email me at theharvardavenue@gmail.com, and I can give you instructions on how to call in and be a guest. And if you have any other suggestions or you would like to comment on the show, you can use that same email address, theharvardavenue@gmail.com. And until the next episode, which will be Friday night, I thank you for joining me on this show, and I look forward to future shows and hearing from your comments or appearing as a guest. So until next time, go Steelers.